Order.
This week in the House, the budget song ended in the debating chamber while its melody lingered on in the committee rooms as ministers lined up to defend their spending estimates in the budget votes for the next financial year. Among them, the Minister of Science and Innovation, Stephen Joyce.
I agree with the member that those costs are over the top, and I have made that clear to the Chief Executive.
Before answering questions in the Chamber on Wednesday about the cost, $43,000 going on $70,000, of a sign outside the new Wellington head office of the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment, Mr. Joyce was at the Education and Science Committee meeting that morning to talk about spending in the 2015-16 financial year, which doesn't start until the 1st of July. Also in the committee rooms on Wednesday morning with their senior management were Social Housing Minister Paula Bennett and the Minister for Building and Housing Nick Smith, defending their spending estimates as outlined in the budget presented back on May the 21st by Finance Minister Bill English. The budget debate that followed entered its 15th and final hour after questions on Tuesday, with Mr. English rising to exercise his right of reply around 4:30 p.m., and with only a couple of passing references to his seventh budget, devoting all of his 10 minutes to attacking his political opponents across the chamber.
This lazy Labour Party, uninspiring Labour Party, this Labour Party that sucks hope from those who need it most.
A standing ovation for their finance minister from National backbenchers was followed by the House first defeating the opposition's no confidence amendment by 63 votes to 58, then passing the budget motion by the same margin, the National-led minority government's majority assured by formal agreements on confidence and supply with the Māori Party, United Future and ACT. Reviewing the budget debate and Wednesday's general debate, Social Development Minister Anne Tolley said it had been amazing.
Laying out quite clearly, I think, for anyone listening, the difference between this side of the House, the government benches, and what is that rabble on the other side of the House.
Ironically, though, the week's battles and the never-ending rhetorical war between the party in government and the rabble on the other side were all about proving that there was no difference between the two main parties when it came down to what they actually did when on the Treasury benches and what they'd said while in opposition.
The double standard opposite is that when they use the process, sometimes they think it's helping. When we use it, somehow there's something wrong.
Building and Housing Minister Nick Smith defending the redesignation of Crown land for housing in Auckland.
The decision to use the Housing Act 1955 to designate land for housing purposes was made in 2001 by the Cabinet, and what former Prime Minister Helen Clark turned the first sod in 2002.
Next year, 2003, Helen Clark's Labour-led government placed a ban on live sheep exports to Saudi Arabia, which eventually led to allegations of bribery against John Key's National-led government a dozen years later. Questions for the Prime Minister on Wednesday included this one from opposition leader Andrew Little.
When he said that part of the reason for paying $4 million of taxpayer money to a Saudi businessman was, quotes, wanting to resolve the issues that were holding back the Gulf States' free trade agreement, end quotes, what were those issues and why did he think paying Hamoud Al-Ali Al-Khalaf Company $4 million would help resolve them?
Confirming that one of the issues was the ban on live sheep exports, Mr. Key eventually admitted that the ban had been renewed on his watch in 2010.
And what I can also confirm is that the 2007 Labor government were A, aware of the problem, B, looking to take their own actions, and C, that leader of the opposition's been set up by Annette King and Phil Goff.
Next day, questions to Mr. Key's Primary Production Minister, Nathan Guy, revealed that the Customs Export Prohibition Orders, or CEPOs, had actually been renewed every 4 years, most recently in 2013. Only three bills passed their final reading, all on Wednesday, one of them a private bill, one a local bill, and one a members' bill. The private bill and the local bill both related to Christchurch. The Arts Centre of Christchurch Trust Bill and the Christchurch City Council Rates Validation Bill. Following their third readings, a bill from New Zealand First MP Tracy Martin, giving clothing allowances for orphans and unsupported children, was given its final reading on a voice vote. That made room on the order paper for another member's bill, with David Parker's minimum wage contractor remuneration amendment bill drawn from the ballot on Thursday. More details on our webpage, parliamenttoday.co.nz. I'm Tom Frewen, and this program was made with funding from Parliament.